Okay, we're going to look at two topics in halacha when it comes to bedikat chametz. So the first is the bracha of the bracha over that we make when we are searching for the chametz. There's actually no bracha on bedikat chametz. There's only a bracha on bi'ur chametz. The question is why? Why don't we make a bracha on the search itself? So we're learning from Rabbi Felder's Sefer Sodei Yeshurun Senior. It's really good stuff. And then we'll look at the question of what are you allowed to use a flashlight for bedikat chametz, and can you leave the lights on instead of turning the lights off? Which is interesting, because most people that I know turn their lights off.
That's hard to find.
I have heard conflicting opinions of that.
Okay, so I'll have an opportunity to look at it a little bit, and then I have a few more pieces on the Haggadah that I found this time from Rev Cook's student of Chala, Yaakov Moshe Chala, was one of his main Talmidim, so we'll look at that after. Okay, so let's begin. So he's talking here in the bottom of the page. Nusach habracha lama tiknu levarach bir chametz v'lo bitul chametz or bedika chametz. There's actually three different activities that we do when we search for chametz. We search and destroy. Destroy is the second day, but we also destroy physically and we destroy.
Symbolically?
Well, symbolically, I guess you could say, like, even if the chametz might still exist somewhere, kol chamira v'chamia d'ika v'rishuti, right, you say that line, which is a statement of, it's really a statement of tehevi ka'afra ta'ara, you're saying that it doesn't exist, as if it doesn't exist, even though it physically might still exist. So it's three different things, but we only make a bracha on the bir itself. Question is why? Why is that? And he doesn't discuss it here, but I'll mention an interesting chiddush that I saw about Shachianu. We don't make a Shachianu on B'digas Chametz either. And these are all mitzvot. Bir Chametz, Bito Chametz, they're all part of the mitzvah. So, any thoughts before we look? Why yes, why no?
My thinking is that the search is for the sake of getting rid of it, so it's connected like that.
Okay.
And really the goal, like just finding it and keeping it is not good either, right?
Like a hadchala, we'll see that svara. Yeah, that's a good svara. That svara is mentioned. Anything else? You could go even more fundamental and say, what's the ikar mitzvah? Is the ikar mitzvah the bidika or is the ikar mitzvah the biur? If you look in the biur is the ikar mitzvah. So not only is the bidika maybe only a early component or a part of a larger piece, but the actual main mitzvah is the biur. But it is a little bit curious that why we make the bracha at night and not in the morning when we're actually doing the mitzvah of the biur.
Is there a mitzvah when making matzah?
Shame mitzvah. So that's a similar question to, is there a mitzvah to build a sukkah?
Right.
Hechsher mitzvah. Do you make a bracha over hechsher mitzvah? So that's a question. The Gemara, the Gemara in Masechet Sukkah and the Rishonim have a discussion about this. The She'iltot speaks about such a concept. You could have a bracha over Hechsher Mitzvah, but specifically by Sukkah, because the Torah says the Lashon of Va'asitem. There's a Lashon of Asiyah, which I do not think there's a Lashon of Va'afitem by Matzah. So it is a little bit different. There's a Mitzvah of Achilat Matzah, but it doesn't necessarily have an explicit mention. Whether or not, you know, that warrants a bracha, even if it doesn't have a pasuk, is an interesting question. But that would probably be hinged on that same issue.
Right, so my comparison is that it's sort of like a
prerequisite.
Yeah, prerequisite.
Yeah.
Not the actual mitzvah.
Good. Okay, so let's see. So the bottom page. over lasiyatan. You have to do the bracha before the beginning of the performance. It's not, it's a Gemara Masechet Psachim. Nusach Birkat al biur chametz makom amotza betalmud adidan of Yerushalmi agirsa al mitzvat biur chametz. It's different girsa in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. The Bavli has al biur, and the Yerushalmi has al mitzvat biur chametz. Shulchan Aruch pasak betalmud adidan. Shulchan Aruch, turn the page. I think it's on the back side. The Shulchan Aruch focuses on the Bavli. Pasuk's like the Bavli. You mean Berach Leva'er Yatza. If you if you made the bracha Leva'er, you were also Yotze. What was it? What does Leva'er mean?
Yes.
To destroy?
You mean,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. As opposed to Al Bi'ur. So he explains. Yes, he explains it. So he says, "Vahat." So say next paragraph. So he says, mevarich al biur afal gav delo mevaer." You say al biur, even though you're not actually destroying it now. Mikom akom achshav machil habiur. The beginning of the destruction process begins here. Shaydei shabadek levaer. You're searching in order to be able to destroy. So like your language a little bit. And you're being mevatel chametz, so you don't know about mimela mevaer gam achshav. So you're actually doing a form of biur right now by making the statement right of bittul. Habiur demachar. So it's like a type or a form of the biur that you're going to do the next day. Magen Avram. There's the Magen Avraham, uses your language. The Bedika is the beginning of the Bi'ur. And you read the Kavanato, the Gamma Sebdika Vagniza Nikra Bi'ur Shemivari Notumina Bai. It's actually a form, it's a part and parcel of the actual destruction. You're getting rid of it from the house, you're destroying it from the house. But Zenecha had the Omer Be'erav de Lo Bi'arte. In the nighttime, we say anything that I have not yet burned, destroyed. That which I haven't put away in order to burn tomorrow, because you might end up eating or selling at a chametz hazeh who mevatel. So you're being mevatel that chametz. So that's why we don't make a bracha seemingly on the bedika, because the bedika is only the beginning. On the bittul in a mevarech mishum the bittul have a belave. It's something that you really technically are allowed to do just in your mind, in your heart. It's not something that you speak of. So because it's a bitul belave, because it's something that's just left up to the cognitive, you know, process of believing, of deciding that you no longer own whatever it is that you don't even know about, that's not a ma'aseh. It's a machshava. Ve'ein mevarchim al dvarim shebalev. You don't make a bracha on dvarim shebalev. It's an interesting concept. Okay, look, and the same is true by a mitzvah that doesn't have a ma'aseh. There's no action, so we don't make a bracha over the mitzvah to believe in Hashem. The mitzvah to love Hashem.
I was just thinking that one.
It's an interesting concept, right? Doesn't have a ma'aseh. The od de bichlal, what are you saying?
It's not to this topic, it's to the topic of the Nusach of the Rechem.
Yeah, what are we going to say?
Usually we say, like, a verse, right? And if the mitzvah is being done by someone else for us, then we say, like, Adam.
Right.
Right? Like, Limon Litaven versus Alamidas.
Right.
Like, if you're the one who will never do that for your own son, you say Limon Litaven. If you're the model for someone else's son, then you say Alamidas.
It's coming. He's going to discuss it. But yeah, so it's in the second last paragraph. Oh, the bichlal biur yeshna lishon bitul. Interesting. So another reason why we don't make a bracha on the bitul even though we already said it's no maseh, and it's also something that is dvarim shebalev, because in the word bi'ur, you have a lashon of bitul. Ben bichlal lashon bitul bi'ur. Bi'ur incorporates bitul, because when you're doing a burning, you're also doing a nullification. When you're doing a nullification, you're not doing a burning. It doesn't go vice versa. So it's more all-encompassing. The language of al-bi'ur is more encompassing, encompasses the concept of bitul.
You guys do the opposite?
He thinks the opposite.
I burn it. Whatever I didn't burn, I didn't mean to burn.
Right, but nullifying something could be, even if it's not physical. That's the idea. So biur encompasses.
Yeah, the point here is to get rid of the physical commands.
Right. You have to do both, though.
Like if you burn some of it and leave some, you could always argue the one you left, you meant to leave it. So it's not really too long.
Why could you leave it?
I mean, physically speaking.
Yeah, I understand, but why are you allowed to leave it?
You're not allowed.
Oh, you're not allowed.
But that's an argument. Let's say physically you leave it. When you burn, that's what you meant to get rid of.
Right.
But you left, you didn't. Whereas if you say, I mean to mevatel everything, whether or not I burn it, I'm just arguing the opposite.
Ah. Uh-huh. But you still have to do an act of biur.
Yeah, no. I'm
we do have to do, but well, that's the whole machloka.
Right.
Okay. So I think the response to that is because there are two tracks of how to get rid of chametz. There's the track; they're both legitimate. They're legitimately rooted in halacha, bitul and biur. We do both because we want to be extra careful. You're right. Technically, you could. What you said would be true.
So why do we say that biur includes bitul?
It's a stronger. It's when you physically destroy something, you're also destroying your connection.
Oh, that very same.
I don't know if it's some. Right? Yeah.
If you nullify something, it still physically exists, even if it doesn't exist in your ownership. If you physically destroy it, then that.
Right. Oh, I understood it differently. Could be.
Did I get it? But
I understood it as the word. I thought it was the word itself. The word bi'ur encompasses the what bitul accomplishes. Bi'ur, like the word itself, is a more encompassing word.
So that's what I thought at first, also.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying.
Okay. I hear how you could push back on it.
Yeah.
This is like this. It's not the tachlit mitzvah. Let's say you did bedika and then you didn't do burning and you didn't do bitul. So he says lo asa klum. You haven't done anything. So that's like an almost like you can't make a bracha over something that is not the completion of the mitzvah.
Like making matzah, not
eating it. Could be. I would give it a more concrete example would be giving tzedakah and the person doesn't accept the tzedakah. It's one of the reasons given why we don't make a bracha over giving tzedakah. I don't know of any scenario where they don't, where they're not going to take the, you know, they're not going to take it. What was it?
Yeah, give to them.
No, there's other reasons given. There's other reasons given. But this is one of the ideas given. You have to make a bracha over something you know where the action is going to be followed through with. So bidika, if you don't do the other parts of it, it's like a levatalav, a little bit. Then he says, okay, that as well. I also saw somewhere that said, but the reason why we put out the pieces of bread, there's different reasons given. But one of the reasons is in order to make sure that the bracha is not levatala. Right? It has to go right into an action. Now he goes to your point in this last paragraph. Tam shekavu kan levarich be'al v'lo liva er afogav denechuko amarim v'nusach habracha da'al bi'ur perusho kodem. Aha. So they had a debate about like this. On if you say al biur means that from the time that you decided in your heart to cancel out, nullify the mitzvah of biur has happened before you've done the bedika. Uliva er mashma'a misha bracha al masha tzarich od la asot. That's first of all. That's going on what you haven't done yet.
That's good. That answers my two other questions.
What were your two other questions?
How can you say a bracha on something that is not happening until tomorrow?
Right.
Or maybe it might not even happen.
Oh, and then he makes your point. And he makes your point. Ve'od dahai mitzvah efshar la'sota al yedei acher afal pi shelo midato. Right, somebody else can do it on your behalf. Afal gav the rov rishonim da'atam diachol of arech bein leva eru vein al biur. Sounds like there doesn't. It's not a strong reason to go one way or the other. Shabrachahi al haba. It's happening anyway tomorrow. Habdikav biur sheyavo mikom akom yater tov levarech al biur. It's better to do al biur. Da habdika hitchilat habiur. Because you're starting the biur right now, it's true you're not going to do you're not going to complete it until tomorrow. But because you're starting it right now, so the mitzvah is really going on the process. We understand that leva'er works because technically it's covering, you know, what you're going to do in the future, but al biur is more. Covers more what you're about to start, right? And the bedika is really, it's almost as if, could you do a biur without a bedika?
You already have something. You
have to have it, right? You just have it. Sounds like you could do it. The bedika was put in to, how would you explain it?
That's even more. Then you have someone who doesn't have anything, a homeless person doesn't have anything, has nothing
right.
To check, no comments, nothing. Should he get bread in the morning so he can burn it?
Right. Right. You have to
so
go out and
like
very interesting. So this is, so I was gonna mention this, so I saw most poskim hold we don't make shachianu on the mitzvah of bedikat chametz. Although there is a Pri Chadash who says that we do, and Rav Avad Yosef said you should be choshesh for this Pri Chadash, but since it's basically a Safek, whether we do or we don't, you should have a new fruit. Yeah, a new fruit.
And another one for the second.
So, but the question is, when do you make the Shachianu, according to Rav Avadya? I never heard of anybody doing this, but apparently he did it. So he says you put the fruit in front of you while you're making the al biur chametz, have in mind in the fruit, then do the start the bedika. Then 2 minutes in, because you can't make a hefsek between the bracha and the mitzvah, so in 2 minutes in, make a shechianu. So I saw, very interesting. There's a whole. Well, that's it. No, because you've already done a component of the bedika that counts as the mitzvah. Yeah. So I saw, very interesting, that. The whole question of Shechianu, when we make it, when we don't make it. So in general, we have a general klal. There seems to be two. The Rambam has Mizman Lazman. So anytime you have a fixed day on the calendar, we make Shechianu there. Every Yom Tov, Shofar, Lulav, Sukkah, Megillah, so on and so forth. Hanukkah candles. Shechianu. Because it's fixed on the calendar. That's Mizman Lazman. Then you have a category. The Rambam speaks about where you're purchasing something for a Dvar Mitzvah. You make a Shechianu. Tefillin, Tzitzis. Then he has a category called infrequent mitzvot. It's treated like it's frequent. It's treated like it has a Zman. So like Pidyon HaBen, for example. Bris Mila, which is debated anyway, whether you make it or don't make it, but the Rambam says Pidyon HaBen is something infrequent. So the question becomes, what's like the rule of thumb for any other type of, you know, mitzvot that we're not sure about? Because Tosfot in Masechet Sukkah says certain mitzvot we don't make. Like we don't make shachianu over halal, we don't make shachianu over making tefillin or making tzitzit or all kinds of different things connected to this. So he says, what was it? Yeah. So right, exactly. Right. So Tosfot has this klal where he says something that is an inyan of simcha involved in it will be a reason they'll motivate us to make shachiyan. So in the end, he quotes Pidyon HaBen, and everybody kind of says, well, what's so happy about Pidyon HaBen? What's the simcha there? So there's a Baal Amar who, and this I was teaching over the sugya a few weeks ago, and I saw something on Pesach. I got very excited. So there's a Baal Amar in Masechet Pesachim that speaks about Sfirat HaOmer. So whole debate whether Sfirat HaOmer b'zman hazeh is the right or the Rabbanan. It's all a side discussion, Machlokes Rishonim. Because is it based on having a Beit HaMikdash or not having a Beit HaMikdash? Because it's the Korban HaOmer, which allows us to have the Chadash and the new grain. So if there's no Beit HaMikdash, then maybe the Sefirot HaOmer gets knocked down to be a Derabanan, and then we can be more lenient in certain rules of the counting and the Brachot. So comes to Baal Amar and says, we don't make Shechiyano in Sefirot HaOmer. Why? Because, similar to Tosfot, the whole reason why we make Shechiyano on a non, a certain mitzvot is because there's a simcha involved. And he says, by shofar, Hashem is remembering us, and by Megillah, he goes through each one. He says, Hashem's rescued us, and by lulav, with a great joy of samachtam lifnei Hashem alokeicha. Each one has a simcha that's clear from the Torah why we're doing it, or from the text. Sefirot HaOmer is not, because if it's connected to the Beit HaMikdash, it creates a sadness, it creates the opposite. So we don't make Shechiyanu over it. So then I saw, beautiful, the Avu Dram says, by Bdika Chametz, there's no Shechiyanu because there's a Hefsed Mamon. Because you have to get rid of Chametz, which is your own, you own it. I don't think anybody today would necessarily think of like 10 pieces of bread as like, what's 10 pieces of bread? But the idea is it's a hefsed mamon. There's a certain hefsed mamon, and that doesn't bring a person simcha. So we don't make shachianu. So that was an interesting connection between the Baal Amor and the Avu Dram. And then the Baal Amor, by the way, says that the reason why we make shachianu on the Pidyon HaBen is because the simcha there is, for the first 30 days after baby's born, is a safek nefel. Whether the child's viable will survive or not. So it comes out, once the child survives, it's a great simcha. And you can do the Pidyon HaBen. That's what the Pidyon HaBen, you have to wait 30 days. So students asked me, so we should make a Shechiyanu on every child that lives past 30 days. According to that, it's a great simcha. Right? They're not a Sefik Nefil anymore. So I guess, the way I understood it was a combination of the two. Yeah, it was a combination of the two. The opportunity to do the mitzvah Pidyon HaBen combined with the fact that the child's no longer Sefik Nefil.
I had another reason why I was very happy about my son's Pidyon HaBen. Because I'm also a Chor. And I didn't have a Pidyon HaBen when I was little. So I had a Pidyon HaBen when I was like 23 years.
Wow, wow, wow.
Okay. So I did it by myself.
Did you have to sit on a plate?
Garlic and... so were you... yeah.
So anyway, and I was like a bit embarrassed that I didn't do it
right.
Earlier. So I
right.
Didn't have anyone over. Like I didn't want to have a Seudah.
Right.
It's a big merit to have a Seudah for Pidyon HaBen. And I didn't want, like, whatever, just went to the rabbi, say, okay, that's okay, whatever. Like,
yeah.
It's a big deal. And then I thought, how foolish I was. I should have, like, all my friends over and everybody partake of the Seudah.
Right.
So I really wanted to have a Bechor and be able to do it again.
To be metakein. Yeah.
So then, okay, we found out with my wife having a boy. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we're closer than, like, throughout the whole 36 hours of labor. We were close to C-section a couple times. And Baruch Hashem, my idea was like regular birth. And then was able to, have family and friends.
Wow.
And whatever, did again. Wow. And I gave this same speech.
That's cool.
That I was very, very happy that I had like a second chance to do it. Because it's not very common.
It's a very rare. I once sat down and did this, tried to run some statistics on the likelihood of any child's possibility of having a Pidyon HaBen. It's male, female, and then
that's
you have to
female,
look at
regular birth.
Yeah, can first, be missed. Has to be first pregnancy.
Yeah. First,
regular
and,
birth,
and the mother of father cannot be Levier Cohen or
yeah.
or son of
God. Really narrowing it down. I came up to like 8% or something. I did my calculation, rough estimate.
So their children, 8% of
8% of Jewish children born.
But her parents, it's higher. If you only go by the first. Right, more than 8% of Jewish parents have.
Right.
Get to have a
right, right, right. That's true. That's true. Well, like, how many Pidyon Bens have you been to? You know? It's rare.
Yeah. Not my brother.
So I was very happy and grateful that
it's
I
a great story.
To,
I love that. All right, let's look at this other issue here. Okay, so he's talking here about using a flashlight. It's on here. Shirei Hilchot Pesach Nishalti Mutar Livdok HaChametz Be'or Battery Chashmali She'Asher LaTaltel Achnisa Bechorin U'Bizdakin. You can really see nicely with the flashlight. Hayim Ner Mikri Hay Shemevarchin Ala Be'er Shabbos Matzei Shabbos Harei LaDak HaMachorin U'Mevarchin Ala Hanu Neira. Okay. You're allowed to, many poskim say, you can make hadlaka neirot on electric lights. Odilma shiny hachi, maybe we would say, tzar shia biyado lach, niso b'charen b'stakit, shari ner shal shem, and shum b'chel, im boy kim boy, avo gav shum b'varchin al oram. Maybe we say it's different here. Even though make a bracha on their light, maybe you don't put it in. V'afil lahanu achorin ha-mesovim shiner chashmol batri pasul in our Shabbos, even according to those who say you can't use it for Ner Shabbos, shiny hatan the datum that tzarach yisal ba'atzma lahadlik ner, that you have to actually do an action of lighting, hadlaka. Meshe'inkin hachi, direct la'ora, we're only worried about the light, we're not worried about, you don't have to do a maaseh hadlaka for b'dika chametz. So she'yuchal livdok yafeh yafeh, the whole point is you should be able to see the chametz. Asmach t'ditu, t'b'ner mikayim chipus b'yoter, in the chalik bein Ner Shabbos l'ner acher. He seems to initially think it's not a bad idea to use the flashlight. Now there is a discussion in Shulchan Aruch about not using a torch, which probably isn't a good idea for a lot of other reasons. He's talking about something that has a large flame, right? Not a focused flame. I think that's the idea. Something that's. Because we wanted to know what's the difference between using. More something that gives off more tremendous light. If you need a daiti, what's the difference? Don't compare them. Davuka perishu beit neirot shedavkam biyachad. Two, I guess, wicks that are lit, and even though they're not braided, but the fire joins together. It's considered one light. That's a hiskim p'magadim. Okay, I'm jumping down a bit. That's okay if you ended up using that, like a Havdalah candle, basically. It's not an issue of the greatness of the light, of the torch. It's the, you can't get it into a crack. Again, talking about Mefachid Adam, Mipnei Sakana Deleika. Another issue is people are afraid that you're going to get it too close to the wall, you're going to light the house on fire. The light is not, what's the word we use? Consistent?
Steady.
Yeah, the light is not steady. It's jumping all the time. Kvar her bikin zele inyan er Shabbos yedidi hagon Rav Elazar Yehuda of Waldenburg. Midiv Ramah de'in lasoto kimadura. You're not supposed to make it like a fireplace, you know, like a bonfire. Mikom akom rova poskim lo eskiu hanu tamim mechirim vod degam b'ner badri chashmali ein hanu tamim chini yodein liadama b'nidon eini. Shouldn't compare them. Ova aron rav yuchol anachnisa mechorim stakin shabri yeshet tira. Turn the page. Right, hilchata kabaltim yibin yidina menoch rav agon rav hilol posik. It's a good last name. Hillel Omer, Ra'iti, his name is Rav Hillel Posek. Shanishal Bezevedatoli Isura. So he brings some, this Rav Hillel Posek, who actually was not a fan of this. He says you shouldn't use it. Tamo Venimu, Koshiv Shalach Nisbachar Mistakanim, Kain Enemadiki Yafe Vodira, and Gobi Yadab Stadia Orm Nezer Machashmal, Vetara Velo Yivdok Yafe. He thinks maybe you'll end up blocking some of the light, or you won't be able. You know, you won't be able to put it into the corner. I don't know why. Not sure. Technological developments are better today. I guess he was talking about a more primitive type of lantern, maybe.
Well, maybe, I don't know if you've said it. Like, my grandmother had one for decoration. It's like a glass thing.
It's larger.
Another glass thing.
Not a handheld. Not a handheld.
You can push a dial.
Right.
And you put oil inside.
Not something that was necessarily handheld. Befrat, the kol achutim, mechusim, mishtamshim behem yom yom, bekomin yavoda bebate eifel. People use them. Doctors use them. They put them in the stomach. They put them in the mouth. Everyone's going to say it's dangerous to use it. Everybody's using it. In Cain, Yeshamar, Hoyle Bedorenu, in Lachosh, Lahada Hashle, Yvide, no, Ravagon Real Poisek, Imbazet Tamli Surka, the Hatsavagon Shomakugur. Matir lishchot kashaner omed ba'shashid. I've got the schulim of seka bein a nerva shoni. Don't worry about the. A lot of people say because there's a barrier screen between the candle and the beam that comes out of it. So it's not to worry about that. And he was even matir for a person to a shchita. With a lantern, right? That was shooting out the light like that. So the Inyan Chameitz Zara Magen Avram, the Chalon Sheish Baschulit Klo Yama Asur Livdo Kenegdo. The Magen Avram says you can't use a window that has a in front of the light. Hanu Time Adeni Yachol Lirot Bechornim Mizdakim. That's because it doesn't get into the cracks. But if you would be able to, then it would be allowed. So he comes out, seems like the kula on this. If you look in the end of the next paragraph, he brings all the poskim, the Beis Yitzchak, and Rav Avadia, many poskim who allowed you to use electric for Ner Shabbos. Kol dini Erev Pesach, Chava Shabbos, and then the Herich Barich, Zayter B'makom Tzorech, Ve'in lo Ner Shal Shabbat, the Bo Mitzvah, the Muvchar, K'mavur Baruch HaChaim. Some people would just say an argument from tradition. You know, would be the reason to use a candle, but it does appear that if the whole purpose of it is to really do bedika, and the flashlight does a better job, it's hard to come up with a good reason why it shouldn't be preferred, or at the very least alongside. You know, maybe that would be the best way to go, to do it one and the other. Okay.